This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. And it's finally here. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Brady and Micah Review Sports Movies, because there's not much sports going on the summer segment on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, it is time. It seems to light Michael up. Man, he's excited. This is the most excited I've ever seen.
I like music.
Very first edition of Brady and Michael Review Sports Movies throughout the summer, because there's not as much going on segment on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. And sometimes with special guests, too. We have Mike dancing with himself. He forgave me for throwing him under the bus the other day.
So yeah, that's fine. I'm kind of used to it around here. That's just what happens.
I'll throw you under the bus. I do
can
other
you turn
meetings.
His headset down, Michael? Thank you, please. And then we have the dude down the hall. You're getting along pretty well, my friend.
We're getting better.
I like the
Not
game.
Quite as good as Michael getting out of his chair for the music there, because that was something. That was energy out of him.
Yeah, there was.
I've never seen that.
I've never seen that in my entire life. So he's
music
excited
moves me.
To review movies with us. And this isn't like, yeah, we're not doing the Siskel and Ebert thing. These aren't new movies. I mean, maybe there'll be a new sports movie we throw out there. But we're reviewing timeless classics that people want us to review. Movies that we've all heard of. We know about them. I never saw The Natural before. Mike, I know you were in the same boat.
Yeah, I had never seen it before either.
Michael, I know you were in the same boat, right?
I had been shut out of that movie as well.
Now, Derbs, you did see it, though.
I have seen it as a younger man. Mm-hmm, I have.
So, The Natural, starring Robert Redford, came out in 1984. It's a sports drama-filled film based on Bernard Malamud's 1952 novel of the same name. So it's based on a novel. Not a lot of truth to it, apparently.
Not based on a real story.
So this is it was an interesting movie. I didn't know what to expect. I always just saw the cover of the movie, and you see Robert Redford, hitting has a baseball bat, or no, he's throwing a pitch or whatever. And I'm just like, okay, this is going to be probably your standard cliche movie of, you know, he's really good at baseball, but he's just not getting his big break, and then suddenly he does, and it's just an epic movie throughout. It was nothing like that. So this is a spoiler. There's going to be spoiler alerts in this as we go.
It came out in 1984.
Yeah,
so 40 years to figure it out. Yeah,
if you didn't watch it, if you haven't done it, you're probably not going to. Or maybe you'll hear this review and it's going to make you want to watch it. I'm not sure. So it starts out, you know, he's training, he's playing baseball with his dad, and you're just like, okay, here we go. This is a regular baseball movie.
Yeah, I kind of liked at the beginning, he's like catching fly balls in grass that's like up to his waist, like trying to run through it.
Yeah, and then he's throwing pitches through the fence and everything. And it's certainly setting it up as, oh, he's going to be this badass pitcher. You know, this is what this is going to be. And then, you know, we kind of get through a little bit of the intro of the movie. And we find out that the dad seems to have a heart attack and dies. Uh-huh. So, and then shortly after that, the tree is struck by lightning.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Robert Redford's character creates a bat. He cuts it out of the tree that was struck by lightning, makes a bat, puts Wonder Boy on it, which they never really talk about why he was called Wonder Boy. I don't even know if the dad ever called him Wonder Boy. Did he?
I didn't remember. I don't remember that happening.
Just came up with it and wrote it on the bat. And you're like, okay, here we go. He's on it. You know, he gets on the train. He gets a call up. He gets an opportunity. And where is he going? What's the team? Because it's a fake team, right?
He's going to Chicago.
It's the Knights.
That's
New York Knights.
The New York Knights. So he's and feel free to jump in when I miss some of the. I'm not going to go through the entire thing, but Glenn Close is the love interest in this movie.
Yeah, like before he leaves.
Before he leaves, and I just. She's a good actor. She's a good actor. But Robert Redford and Glenn Close, a little different. It's kind of like Brad Pitt and not quite Roseanne, but, you know. I didn't buy that relationship, I guess. And they loved each other before he left.
Yeah, and at some point you're thinking like, okay, Robert Redford is like this young prospect who's traveling to go and try out for the baseball team. And I'm looking at him and I'm going, he's got to be 30-some years old already.
He looked pretty old. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. So he gets. So he tells the Glenn Close character, what is her name in this? Iris. Hey, I'm going to send for you. I want you to marry me. So, okay. There we go. Gets on a train, and there's a mysterious woman on this train. And basically, I mean, we can get into what happens at the circus and everything, but he meets this mysterious woman. They're talking at the train kind of bar thing, and it seems like he's really into her. And she calls him later, and he goes to her room. Well, and this is when I thought the movie took a weird turn. She shoots him.
Yeah, and he like impressed her because he was able to strike out this
the whammer
guy who is supposed to be the greatest hitter or something
who just happened to be on the train with him, as well as the guy we were just talking about, the
Robert Duvall.
He's a writer,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he's there with the whammer. He's writing a story about him, and then he sees, you know, obviously they have a fun challenge, and he strikes out the whammer out at the circus. And the woman was impressed by this, and they're flirting and stuff, and then she leaves, and that's when he uses the line, you know, I'm going to be the best there ever was. And then she calls him to the room, Derbs, and she shoots him. And then we later find out more, but she shoots him, and then we fast forward to 16 years.
It was just so fast, too. Like, she's wearing, like, this black, I don't know, and, like she's going to a funeral,
right?
And then she pulls down like this veil, and then just whips out a gun and shoots him. And like, but and then there's no aftermath.
No.
Like nobody leaves.
Don't know who
no,
she
it
is.
Just goes to a whole nother scene, and then like it felt like 12 seconds later he was back in the big leagues,
and it looked the same.
And it was 16 years later.
It was 16 years later,
but
he still looked the same.
Like it fades to black. It's like, is the movie over?
Yeah,
like,
what happened
like,
here?
He didn't even play baseball. He just got shot.
Yes, Michael.
I thought like it was she like some supposed to be some kind of metaphor, because she kept mentioning Homer or something.
Well, she was arguing, yeah, like different writings, and she asked if he'd ever read Homer, and he said the only Homer I've ever read about has four bases. And I guess before she shoots him, there was Robert Duvall's character talking to Whammer about a story he was reading about a mysterious person that shot up a few athletes, and then that was kind of it. We never really learn. Like, was she doing this? Was she a serial murderer going around shooting athletes? Or was she just crazy? We never really learned much about her character.
Yeah, I was confused because at first, like, I thought she was, like, obsessed with him. And then when he said, the only thing I care about is being the best in baseball.
She's like, that's it.
She was like, that's it? Like, you don't want to make a ton of money or something? You know what I mean? Like, I felt like she was pissed because she wanted him to make a bunch of money and marry her or something. I was trying to make up my own plot line.
Well, I'll admit, like, I was like, okay, this is interesting. We got the circus thing. Then she shoots him, and I'm going, whoa, what kind of movie? All right, he's probably going to recover from an injury and then have to work his way back up, and he's still so good at this. But it's just a 16-year gap, and next thing we know, he's going to play for this. What was the next team he was going to? Was this?
I was wasn't it an overseas something like an I can't remember
Something
where it comes.
Israel.
And he just said minor league and
Scout saw him and then watched him play whatever. I think he said like two games or something like that, and said,
and the scouts like, yeah,
this guy has it. Let's send him here. And it goes so fast.
And everybody keeps asking like, what did you do for 16 years? And he's like, baseball is always on my mind.
It's just, were you in a coma dreaming about baseball?
You got shot, and like, were you not able to play? And there's no doubt, like, as soon as he gets Pop, was the manager. And he's diabetes. Like, I don't, he's the diabetes guy. Yeah, he's in the diabetes commercials. And he's like, I ain't playing you. My scout says you're good. I don't trust him. Yeah. And you're 97 years
you're old.
Old
compared to all these guys.
Right. And he finally gets to go to batting practice and he's pretty good, but he's still like, I don't know.
And then how he gets his chance to play is just absurd because he's a right fielder and the right fielder like goes to catch a ball and runs through the wall of the outfield and ends up dying.
They have a funeral. Mm-hmm. Have a funeral on the field.
And then play the game 12 seconds after they announce, like, you know, they do the little salute and they're like, play ball.
Well, they dump his ashes on the field and then play ball.
And it's like, you're starting, kid.
That was my favorite part of the movie.
And then as soon as he starts, he's like, amazing. He's just, it's like, well, why weren't you playing baseball the whole time? You know, and we don't. We try to find that out later. I have, like, one of the things that I noticed in this movie, Derbs, and this was my, like, one thing. It seems like whenever Robert Redford's character, Roy Hobbs, was threatening to fool around with another woman, his luck would change. So when he goes to this mysterious woman that shoots him, she calls him to her room. What do you think he's thinking is going to happen at that point? And then later, Kim Basinger is in this movie. When he starts kind of liking her, his game goes down. So I was like, is there some kind of theme there? If he just don't mess around on Glenn Close, man. Like, if you're going to step out on Glenn Close, bad things are going to happen to you.
She's worth every penny of that. You just can't, like, just can't go against it. Your life's going to go downhill if you're not all in.
There was as I'm watching the movie too, I'm like, is there magic involved? Because they all put the lightning on their patches because he has lightning on his bat.
Yeah.
And then they all start playing well.
One of the things that bothered me about this movie is kind of the corniness of, like, he pitches to his dad and it goes right through the barn wall and then he hits a ball and it breaks the clock on the at Wrigley Field or whatever, and like the lightning. Oh, he blew the cover off the baseball also.
Yes, his first hit.
This stuff, I'm just going, like every corny baseball cliche is going on here.
I guess I didn't understand what this movie was like, what it was trying to be. Was it like, okay, the lightning created this amazing human, and I didn't understand where we were going with that. And then when we finally got the payoff from when he meets up with Glenn Close, Iris, and he tells her why he was out for 16 years, he doesn't really say much. He just says, yeah, I bounced around from job to job. Clearly, he's still playing baseball at an elite, like he's the best ever. Why didn't he just go play baseball? And he didn't really say he hated baseball. He just said it was always kind of on my mind. Yes, Michael?
Maybe he was afraid of getting shot. Like, maybe he's like, oh, there was a serial killer who's killing all these guys. I don't want to get shot
again.
Well,
maybe tell us that. Like, I felt, and I know Robert Redford, everybody loves Robert Redford. I just felt like there wasn't a lot, and I'm going to sound like a real nerd here, there wasn't a lot of depth to the dude. It didn't seem like there was a lot of depth to the character.
No, yeah, I agree completely.
His, like, hardest moments were, like, adamantly saying, I'm a right fielder, and then just trying to prove everyone wrong in, like, the most simplest of ways.
Yes.
Like, there wasn't ever a real disaster or an overcoming moment. Is just like, I'm going to prove the gambler wrong. Don't bet against me your mass amount of money. Like, don't shoot me again. Like.
Well, that's what, and this is where it was really odd to me. So we find out from about Pop Fisher, who's the manager. We find out from Red Blow, who's his assistant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tells him that, this game's taken so much away from Pop, and he owns 50% of the team, but he's going to get that taken away from him if they don't win the pennant this year.
Well, he had to sell some of it back, so he was a minority.
He was a minority owner, and he wouldn't even be a minority owner if they didn't win the pennant. He would lose all of it. So we learned that, but yet Pop is still like a jerk to Roy Hobbs. He's like, I'm not playing you. And the only reason he plays him is because the dude dies. And then when Roy Hobbs goes to meet with the judge, I guess the owner
of the team? Yeah, I guess so.
You know, the judge is like in the darkness, and he's like, I don't like the dark or whatever. It was weird. And it's like,
he's
basically like trying to offer him, you know, money and all this stuff. And Roy Hobbs like, money doesn't matter to me. This is for Pop. And I'm like, wait, you guys haven't had a conversation outside of Pop reluctantly deciding to play you. Why would you be Like, why?
Yeah, why are you on his side?
There was no scene in the movie that led me to believe that those two, like, had a reconciliation.
Yeah, I think the only two times they spoke was, like, in the dugout and when he came in late or whatever, if they even had curfew or whatever when they were when he was with Kim Basinger's character at the hotel.
And with my niece.
He was, like, yelling at him because he was leaving a team meeting at one point.
Like, well, yeah, he just walked out and left, and then he's getting ready for batting practice, and Pop's like, I'm sending you down. And he's like, okay. And he turns around, and he's like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, get out there and hit. I'm like, well, that happened pretty fast.
Well, and then, like, there's, like, that random scene where he, like, steps on the mound and throws like one pitch at practice or something.
And it was a good pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he never pitched.
Yeah.
Never pitched. Like, I thought at the beginning of the movie, when he's at the circus and all stuff, like, he's an amazing pitcher.
Yeah.
And then once he actually plays baseball, pitching is the furthest thing he does.
He was like,
he's literally as far away from being
Shohei Ohtani before Shohei Ohtani.
Yes. And he didn't do it. Let's take a break. 20 minutes after the hour here. We're reviewing The Natural as a part of our summer movie review series. Was it a good movie? That's what we're going to try to break into here. Very odd. It was odd. Was it entertaining? Was it something that you would go back and watch? Because this is one of those movies we've always been told. It's one of the classics. This is one of the classic movies. So we continue the whole show movie review edition this week. We're talking about The Natural. We'll be right back.
Toot's one mission, to provide the best morning radio in Colorado. Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10, on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The music is like more epic than what was kind of going on in some of these scenes. And The Natural, we are reviewing the movie The Natural. We've got Mike dancing with himself, the dude down the hall, Derbs, and Michael Kirkpatrick. So far, I'm getting the take from all of us here. This just kind of it was
weird,
all over the place.
Uh-huh.
Like is it supposed to have a little lightning magic in it? What's the story behind some of these characters? There wasn't a lot of... And I don't know, in the 80s... I mean, I watched Karate Kid, and I felt like they built that up pretty good.
Yeah, I like the story of Karate Kid. It's the same time frame that they were made. Even the setup for the main character, Robert Redford's character, like, his dad dies, but, like... Is the mom not in the picture? Like, we don't know anything about, like, what happened to this kid?
She wasn't a sports fan, so she doesn't count.
We don't know, like, a lot about really anything, you know, throughout this process.
I feel like we've said more words in this segment than was in the entire two hours and 16 minutes of the movie.
And it's like Robert Redford didn't have a ton of lines. He didn't talk a whole lot in this movie for being the main character. He didn't, and anytime they'd ask him about his life, it was never, you never really knew much.
Yeah.
And did he really love this Glenn Close, this Iris character, because he stayed away for 16 years? And then we find out, oh, by the way, she was pregnant when he left, and he may or may not have a son that's 16 or 15 or 16. We just never really got much to him.
You know, one thing this movie did have that it seems like all baseball movies have is the music with the montage of all the, like, hits and the paper showing the clips of, oh, they won this game by this. And, like, every baseball movie, like, even, like, The Sandlot, when they're playing that team that's supposed to be really good in their city, and it's the same kind of thing. Always the music with the baseball montage in all baseball movies.
And they were so bad, too.
Yeah.
Like, before he got there, you know, it's a wonder they still won games, because, you know, he could hit a home run every time, but you'd still lose 9-4. You know? Texter from the 970. Maybe everything after the gunshot was actually a dream facilitated by Leonardo DiCaprio. That might have been better. He wakes up and he's like, oh, it was all a dream. Eastside Chris texting in. I always go reference to pick me out a good one, Bobby. The bat, then the sparks fly. pick me out a winner, is what he said. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was another one we didn't know. So he has this bat, the Wonder Boy bat, and at the end of the movie, he breaks the bat in his final game. And then the boy, who we see a scene earlier, the boy's like loving the bat and everything. And he goes, well, why don't you go down to the lumberyard, the bat boy, go down to the lumberyard and pick out a really good piece of wood and we'll make one of these days. We never see that scene. However, the bat boy brings out a new bat with something else. What else was written on that bat? He put something special on that bat.
I don't remember what it said.
I don't remember either. Just the whole part has like 100 ideas, and they just kind of assume, here's our idea. You run with it the way you want to run with it. We're probably not going to revisit this, but if we do, it'll be for about 12 seconds.
I'm curious, like, if you were to go back and, like, read the novel, I wonder if it goes into
probably
way more detail.
Yeah. I would imagine, because the character that shot him, there's got to be more to that character.
An aftermath, some lead-up, something.
And we find out later. Yes, Michael, go ahead.
Well, what was more to her was, like, it was a murder-suicide.
She jumped out the window after she shot him, right?
Yeah.
She shot him, then jumped out the window. The judge actually had the pictures, and he's like, we're going to use that against you, and this is not going to be a good look.
How is that a bad look for Roy?
I guess it's just the image of him going to another woman's hotel room. Because, again, back then it was like, don't even talk to the ladies.
He wasn't married.
No, he wasn't married. But still, I guess, because that was like back when they all cared about their image with children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like kids looked up to them so much, and they thought that would be. But he didn't really seem to care about it. But yeah, and Robert Duvall, you mentioned him. Like, he wasn't really in this. We saw him drawing a lot of cartoons and stuff.
Yeah, those cartoons were sweet.
They were legit. They mm-hmm. were. Yeah. GoPoke says, did he shoot her first? No.
Johan did not shoot first.
He basically just walked into the room.
He's like, well, he saw her with the black veil on, and he's like, what's going on here? And I was like, this should have been rated a little more intense.
Yeah.
We're about to get into something here. And then suddenly she's like, boom, like, whoa, okay. That woke me up, because it's like, this movie took a really interesting turn. What's she about? How's he going to respond? And then it's just 16 years later, and he's playing baseball.
Well, and then, like, towards the end, when he goes in to, like, tell the main owner that he's going to play and he doesn't want any money to throw the game or anything like that, and then a gun ends up going off.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Ken Basinger shoots into the floor.
Yeah.
And there's, like, yeah. Well, and then later, 16 years later, they finally pulled the bullet out of his body, you know, and they're like, you could die if you play baseball again. Yeah. But you could do anything else, but just not baseball.
No,
just don't do baseball. Yeah. Like, that will kill you. Yeah. Even thinking about baseball.
There's a football team starting up down the road, but don't play baseball.
But if you swing another bat, that'll be the last thing you do. Michael, give me some of your thoughts on this, man.
Man, it was chaotic. Was the book chaotic? I just wonder if anyone read the book. Was it this chaotic, or was the screenwriter very ADD?
Well, most of the time...
Because it just jumped all over the place.
Most of the time in movies, the book is always, I don't want to say necessarily better, but the book always has way more information.
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, you have so many, you don't have a time limit. Movies back then stayed pretty close to that 2-hour mark, it seemed like. So I would imagine the book has a lot more to it, and they explain some of these characters a little bit more.
I mean, there were certain parts of the movie that were really interesting, like the attempted murder. I would have liked to have known more about that character.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I would like to see a movie about that character. I want to see that movie, the woman trying to kill all the athletes.
Yeah, was she going after him because, like, she had a bad past? Her dad was an athlete, cheated on her mom or something, and so she's like, I'm killing all of them that try to step out. I just didn't get it. And Kim Basinger, like, they moved her character along quickly, too. Like, they're in the elevator, and then she doesn't really act like she likes him. And then suddenly she's watching him closely because wasn't that her boyfriend that died?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like Varsity Blues. Like, you're the starting quarterback.
Well, and then, like, what was her connection with the gambling guy? Like, because she was always around him.
Was
too.
Rich and she
and
gave
that was
her
the dude
things.
from Christmas Story too. By the way, also Billy Madison's dad.
Yeah, yeah.
All great movies. Yeah, I didn't get her connection either. And then his eye thing was weird. And I thought he was so quick too. Robert Redford was so quick to not like the people that we're not supposed to like.
Mm-hmm.
Because so the gambler guy, he's like, I bet you don't have $10 on you right now. And so he finds $10 as a magic trick and all that stuff. Yeah. And the guy goes, well, what did he say? You'll just owe me or something. And Robert Redford's like, not likely.
Yeah,
like, you don't even know the guy yet.
And he's just like, I was thinking back in that time frame, like, that amount of money that guy was throwing around just didn't exist.
Yeah, right.
Like, that would be still, like, a large amount of money-ish today to be throwing around on just, like, random things and props. And we're back, you know, 40 years ago flying six-figure bets on whether or not a guy will get a hit or not.
I was thinking of Derbs watching this. I'm like, Derbs going to preach the history of gambling started right here with the prop bets. That was kind of interesting because I didn't know it was, like, that big of a thing to bet prop stuff back then. But he's like, you can literally bet on a guy to have three pitches.
Mm-hmm. You can bet on anything you want. And I was just thinking, like, I was like, who's taking this guy's action?
what year did this take place in? Do we know?
What year?
The movie was 1984, and the book was 50s or something.
Yeah, book was 1952, so I would imagine it was 50s. I think it could have been really cool, and there were certain scenes that I kind of liked, but I think what we talked about is just like everything moves so fast, and characters knew each other so quickly and developed a relationship when the viewer didn't really see any of those scenes take place. Yes, Michael?
So I did some math. I thought I heard in the movie the guy say he dropped like $100,000 on something. $100,000 in 1950 is $7,100,000. Yeah. Oh, wait. Oh. I'm sorry. I'm getting this wrong.
Okay.
I will be back. Okay. I put the numbers wrong in wrong box.
Let's take a break. At the end of the hour here, we're going to give our reviews, and the reviews are very simple, Michael. Start it, bench it, or cut it. If you start this movie, it means you love it. It's a go-to. You watch it again and again. Bench it means, yeah, it's a decent movie. Don't know how much I'm watching it, but it's all right. Didn't hate it while I watched it. Cut it is like, that was a terrible movie. I'll never watch it again. I don't see what all the rage is. So we'll get to that coming up soon. 36 minutes after the hour, Michael, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
Hobbs, I'm sending you down, Hobbs. Class B ball. Tomorrow morning you go to the Great Lakes Association.
Can you make the rules?
That's right. And you ain't been playing by them. All these other guys play by them. Don't you remember signing a contract?
Yeah, I remember signing a contract to play ball. Not to be put to sleep by some two-bit carny hypnotist. I won't do that.
You're going down.
It took me a long time to get here, Pop. I won't do it. I can't. I came here to play ball.
Hobbs, come back here! Batting practice tomorrow. Be there.
I have been. Every day.
I think the reason why he did that was to teach him a lesson, because didn't he, like in the scene before, walk out of the meeting?
Because they had
that
the hypnotist
really
telling, trying to fix their losing, telling him losing is a disease. And
losing is bad.
A disease
now,
like
syphilis.
I just remember it was funny because he's like, you know, I'm sending you down. Get back here.
No. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Good enough for me. You make a convincing argument. An interesting movie for sure. I'm not sure how you guys are going to play this, how you're going to judge this. But what did you guys think of the acting in the movie? Was the acting all right? I mean, for a movie of in 1984.
And that's where, like, it's hard to judge it. I guess I told you guys that what we see as great acting now and what was happening in this movie is not the same.
No.
And we all look at... hear the name Robert Redford or Robert Duvall, like all these people, and it's like, man, these are great actors, and it just...
They didn't feel like they got a chance to really showcase some of that.
Yes, yeah, no. And also they were kind of trying to play people from 1939. You said it was 1939?
Yeah.
So people, they were playing people from 1939 in 1984, and it was... I didn't think the acting was horrible, but it was like it's... I'm not... coming close to giving any of them high praise.
Yeah, I would say it's like below average. I mean, especially for the star power thing when you hear those names.
Robert Redford did a creditable job, but the rest of it is just
I thought
kind
he
of
was
like,
just kind of like...
But he spoke like 10 times.
Yeah,
like.
He was just like, I came here to play ball. And that's it.
Yeah, that
like,
was
it wasn't
character.
Like an emotional... Like, you got shot. You know, I got I'm back here. I'm not giving this up. You know, that
exactly.
kind of thing. You know?
His character is just supposed to be boring and say a couple of lines.
Right, and this is the least boring guy ever. He gets, you know, almost struck by lightning. He gets shot. He makes a bat out of a tree that got struck by lightning.
He goes to a fancy dinner with Red, and, like, there's literally just nothing there. Like, the pasta's good, huh?
Yeah. He's like, what did he say? I can't pronounce the name, but it eats good. Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. It actually does look pretty good. Yeah. I want to eat. That was, like, my favorite line. Was Red saying that.
Like, the assistant coach was, like, the best character.
Yeah. I did like Pop at the beginning where he just keeps saying, I should have been a farmer. Should have been a farmer. Because I think that at least 14 times a day during the show. And I'm like, oh, I relate to Pop, man. I can do the chickens thing and goats. So that part was kind of funny. But again, I just feel like I never got to know any of these characters.
Yeah, all pretty blank for sure.
Michael?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could disagree with you guys on a few things. The best part of the movie, Micah getting nerdy, the original score by Randy Newman, I thought was really good.
You got a friend in me guy?
That's the Toy Story guy, huh?
He was able to give this kind of an old-time feel.
Well, but the score, whatever, the music, it didn't, like, it was epic. It was good, but it didn't. It didn't equal the actual movie, you know?
I think it did.
Enough of those moments, I guess.
It gave it those few moments that it had, it enhanced them, plus it kind of had a bit of that jazzy feel that you would think, oh, 1939. Music.
I was confused at the very end, and I'll finish with this. They were one game out. They were trying to win the pennant so that Pop could keep his... part of the team, and they put it in his contract for some reason that you can, if you win the pennant, or you can still keep your team. But I thought they were one game out. Then when he got the bullet out and he passed out and he was in a coma for the 3 days, they're like, nah, we lost three in a row. And then they were like, well, we got one more game to play, and it's for the pennant. I was confused. I was like, well, maybe all the teams in front of them lost three in a row, but they were suddenly like, they were one game out, they had one game to go, and then he goes into coma, and they lost three in a row, and then one more game, and then they win.
There's just a lot of things that don't math in this whole thing.
I thought baseball was all about math. It's supposed to be the thinking man's game.
Let's do the review on this. Start it, bench it, or cut it. Reviewing The Natural, starring Robert Redford. We'll do that coming back next here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Four Saturdays, four code words, one big prize. Tune in to Paul the Waterman Saturday mornings at 8 on KFKA, and you can win a $1,300 reverse osmosis system. Don't miss out.
Hey, this is Ellison Hubbard, former CSU Ram, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, fellas, this is fun. This is the first time we've done this kind of thing, you know? A little sidestep from the current sporting world. I'm a little depressed, so this actually came at a really good time because of what happened last night. So thanks for being in here for this.
Thank you. I'd thrown me under the bus, and I'm here.
But you're still here, yep. And you made it, and it's a great time.
And I got to watch The Natural.
Yeah, it's great. It's been the natural.
I get thrown under the bus. I'm forced to watch a movie that I'm guessing Mike's not in love with and has to come back into reality and do a show. So, yeah, this worked out pretty well for you.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first? Derbs?
Okay, so this is, I think that was the third time I watched it, but both was I was young, and then probably, gosh, maybe 13, 14 or so. It definitely got worse with age, because I don't remember it being like what I watched yesterday.
So you liked it growing up, because you kind of grew up watching it.
Yeah, I thought it was just a cool story. And honestly, growing up, anything with sports, I probably thought was phenomenal. It didn't even matter what it was. But yeah, but not great. I don't think it's as bad as probably some of the reviews for me. But I'm going to give it just the bench it. Because if it came back on, I'd probably still watch. I'd watch it again to see if I can pick something else up. But
good luck.
But the odds of probably like searching it out or paying for it or doing something like that and being like, yeah, I'm going to go watch it again, very, very slim here.
So you're benching it. It's kind of like, it's an all right movie. Yeah. Didn't stand the test of time, maybe. It's not as great as I thought it was, but still good enough for me to go that direction.
Yes.
Mike, where are you going?
For me, I had never seen this movie before. All I had ever heard is how good it was. And I'm going to cut this thing. I want nothing to do with watching this movie again. I'm glad that my wife had some Amazon Prime credit so I didn't have to pay $3.99 to watch it. There's some, like, you brought up The Karate Kid. Like, the same time, I would watch The Karate Kid right when I head home today.
I still like that movie.
I do, too. But this one, it was corny, and the plot didn't make any sense to me, and there just wasn't enough background, and I didn't think the acting was good. I did not enjoy watching this movie.
Michael, where are you going?
Well, since I was told that I can't send this down to the Albuquerque Isotopes, I don't think it's the worst movie of all time, but I would cut it.
Cut it.
We don't have enough room on the bench. By the way, $2 million is what $100,000 would be today.
Thank you, Mike. I'm definitely on board with the cutting it. It was just, it's not one of those I'll probably ever want to watch again. I think there was something there. There seemed like there was a story there, but they just didn't really tell it. And that was the big thing that bothered me.
Too much fluff, and they just ran around. They had too much stuff in there, and they didn't focus on the good things.
I hate that I'm even saying this, but I kind of wanted more cliche, you know? Mm-hmm. Like more, oh, he's from rags to riches, here we go. But it just didn't get enough. Guys, that was great. That was fun.
Thank you.
So go, Hooligans, let us know what you think. Where are you throwing the movie The Natural? Next week, sounds like we're doing Bull Durham.
Ooh.
Sounds like we're doing Bull
Durham.
It's a bunch
of bull.
Bull. So there we go. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.